God's Word is alive and powerful. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us with principles from the Scriptures that will deepen our faith.
What would happen if we treated our Bibles like our cell phone? What if we carried the Bible around in our pockets and purses? What if we flipped through our Bible several times a day? What if we turned back to get it when we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? Unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible being disconnected because Jesus has already paid the bill.
God's Word was written to produce transformation in our lives. As we respond in obedience, it will radically change the way we live. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our message today is designed to challenge and stretch you spiritually. No matter where you are in your Christian journey, God wants you to discover the peace, faith, strength, and joy that only He can give. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of today's message.
We're to be faithful with the Word of God. Now notice what it says here. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then notice the next part, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another. I'm just saying it's a wonderful thing when someone gets something in them so much that they can't wait to get it out. You let it dwell in your heart, and then you want to teach and admonish somebody what you've learned. 2 Timothy is probably my favorite book of the Bible. And I preached through 2 Timothy, I think it was about 21 years ago, and I wasn't going to finish through it because I never had preached 1 Timothy. And it's just, it's going to get in me. I can tell it's already in there. And it's if you know, some of you, you'd read it tonight, you'd probably say, what in the world? It just says Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and to Timothy, my son, grace, peace unto you. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's some good stuff right in there. And you let it dwell in you, and then what I find, people want to talk about what's dwelling in them. People want to talk about it. They want to talk about maybe basketball players because it's dwelling in them. You can tell what's dwelling in someone. People sometimes want to talk about maybe their boyfriend or their girlfriend, because that's kind of what's all over them, you know. People want to talk about their hobby. They put it on Facebook and on Twitter because that's what's dwelling in them. That's what's kind of become their passion in life. But God says, I want my word to be your passion. I want you to have so much of me in you that you can't get outside very far without telling somebody else about me. I want you to let it dwell in you so that then you'll be faithful with it. What are we to be faithful doing? Notice, first of all, explaining doctrine. Explaining doctrine. Notice the word there, teaching. Now, I was talking to some young people this morning that are going to go out and represent our college about some of the differences with West Coast. One of the great things that we have at West Coast are not just part-time people that drive in, teach a few hours of the same old hashed over things, and then back home and then back in. We have teachers that live here, they're in town, on the campus, all afternoon to help the students at West Coast Baptist College. And they are reviewed, every teacher in this ministry is reviewed by an outside reviewer every year, and comments are given to the administration. And then we sit down with the teacher and we evaluate them. And then we evaluate their syllabus and we make sure that they're using proper materials and that they're growing as a teacher. Because it doesn't matter how many times you've taught something. There may be a new method. There may be another way to get the truth across. And we do our very best to constantly be improving. And teaching is a wonderful privilege to be a teacher. But here the Bible commands all of us to be teachers. And that we're to teach the doctrine of the Word of God. Now, to teach the truth of the Word of God involves explaining doctrine. How do you do that? Well, you impart the instruction of the Word of God. Notice 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Notice this. For instruction in righteousness. Now, I don't care if you're 12 years old. If you'll open the Bible and if you'll spend some time in the Bible and if you'll let it dwell in you, you're going to get something that you can tell someone else. there's something that you're going to learn that you can tell someone else about the Lord. And so it's for instruction in righteousness. It's to instill doctrine into another person. Notice Titus 1:9 in your notes tonight. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So you're able to take the truth of the Bible, the doctrine of the Bible, and to exhort and to convince. Titus 2:1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then you can explain the word of God. Luke 24:27, and began at Moses and all the prophets. He, Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So when you are filled with the word of God, you can be faithful to the word of God. You ever wonder why there's so many cults and denominations? It's because many of them were founded by people who were not filled with the word of God, but they just got a little piece of a passage and they twisted it to say what they wanted to say. And because of that, many millions of people perish without the knowledge of God tonight. God says if you'll get filled with the word, rightly divide the word, and if you'll compare scripture to scripture, then you can help others to know. You can be faithful in the word of God. There are many different kinds of preachers that have come to preach for us, but always Bible preachers, because we want to know what the Bible says. Notice, secondly, we want to explain doctrine, and then we want to be exhorting about danger. Exhorting about danger. Now look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching. We just talked about teaching doctrine and principles, but now notice the next phrase. And what's the word say? Say it one more time. And? Admonishing. Now, the word admonishing means to warn, right? Now, I don't want to just be a preacher that's just against stuff. I want to be for stuff too. But let me tell you something. A part of being a pastor or a parent or a teacher is to warn people about things that can hurt them. And that's what this word admonishing means. It means to warn. It means to exhort. Admonishing is the negative side of teaching. Admonishing is showing someone, if you do it this way, it's not going to be a good result. I was speaking to this young lady this evening, my wife and I, and witnessing to her. She told us she was engaged. And I said, you know, it'd be so important for you. Her mother just died of cancer, and she's 30 years old. And I said, it'd be so important if you could come to church, and you need to get premarital counseling. And I like to talk to your boyfriend to make sure he's saved, that he knows Jesus, because he can't be the right leader. And I said, I just want to warn you that the Bible teaches us that how can two walk together except they be agreed? And I just want to challenge you that you'd consider that principle, because I've seen a lot of marriages not do well when there was what the Bible calls an unequal yoke. And I was just talking with her, and I was admonishing her. Her father left her when she was young. Her mother passed away. And listen, we may not always like it, but we need the admonishments of the scriptures, okay? And so we need the teaching, and we need the admonishing from the word of God. Now, a classic passage on that is right here in your notes, 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And then notice this, reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Let's say that together. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Now, I told the core class last Sunday, I said, now, after 30 years of preaching here, I have discovered everybody likes to be exhorted. Good job. Everybody. I like that. Everybody likes that. The reproving and the rebuking. You sorry rascal. Not that we'd say it always that way, but the reproving, not everybody wants that. But you see, there's the positive and the negative in the teaching. And even as you talk to a teenager and you say, son, I'm so proud of you that you entered into that fine arts competition, or sweetheart, you look so beautiful up there singing. I'm so proud of you. But even so, you might have to admonish them the next day. By the way, it's a lot easier to admonish someone when you have praised them once in a while too. And God says, I want you to teach and I want you to admonish people along the way. So we are to be filled with the word. Then we can be faithful in the word. But then notice, thirdly tonight, we're to be fervent with the word. We're to be fervent with the word. Now, Terry said the funniest thing. She didn't know what I was teaching on tonight. She said, honey, would you help me? I got to say my memory verses to you. She said, I can sing them, but I don't know if I can just say them. And she said, I don't want to just sing them to my partner. But how many of you know it's okay to sing them too? You know, what I love about our hymns, and let me just say, not every hymn in our hymn book is doctrinally correct, so we don't sing those. But most of them are, and I love songs that are filled with doctrine. And my biggest problem with most new songs is they're just so void of doctrinal content. They just say a lot of stuff over and over that's not really edifying, biblically speaking. But if there's a new song with a dominant melody and it's got a great doctrinal message, praise God for that. Because look at what the Bible says. It tells us here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, we sang a lot of songs when I was growing up and singing in Sunday school. And just singing about the Lord. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. We'd sing that song over and over again. And Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the children, all the children of the world. You know, I got to tell you something. Those songs were right out of the scriptures, right out of the scriptures. And God and godly people have known for years, one of the ways to get the word down in us is through song. And if we can sing it, and a lot of times our children are singing it, and 3 years old coming out of the nursery, and some of your kids and grandkids, the B-I-B-L-E-S, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. And my grandkids, a lot of them, they don't remember any of the words except that last one, Bible. You know, that's one they want to sing. So I sing the song, and they say the chorus. But they're learning at an early age the importance of a Bible education. And moms and dads, sometimes young families say, well, what do you do at family devotions? Find out a song that they like to sing from Sunday school. Let them sing it and read them a verse and pray with them. It doesn't have to be a big drawn out, you know, church service. All right, bless God now. Bring your King James Bible to breakfast. Move your Cheerios, heathen. No, you don't have to say that. Just sing with them and read them a scripture and pray with them. But God's people have known for years that a song that's biblically based helps the word of God to dwell in us. And so God says here in this verse, admonishing one another, notice first of all, we're to be fervent with the word. And first of all, I jot this down, a new song, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, when you get saved, God puts a new song in your heart. Before you got saved, it was rap and rock and country, and that's all you ever cared about. But when you get saved, you start singing some of these songs that you learn as a new Christian. Victory in Jesus, at Calvary. You begin to meditate on the truth of these songs and you sing them out. And songs that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. A psalm, P-S-A-L-M, is scripture put to music. Those are wonderful songs, aren't they? Scripture put to music. A hymn is an expression of praise to God. And in the New Testament passages, even Philippians 2, 6 through 11, which we've studied a lot, may have been a hymn that was sung in the New Testament church. And so psalms and hymns, and then it says this, spiritual songs, spiritual songs. And I believe that there is such a thing as spiritual music and carnal music. And sometimes it's hard to define that, and I don't have a doctorate in music necessarily, but I just read the Bible and it says spiritual songs. I know the word spiritual, pneumatikos, is of the Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit's desire is always to exalt Jesus Christ. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. So a spiritual song is of the Spirit. It's Christ exalting. Spiritual. What's the opposite of spiritual? Carnal, C-A-R-N-A-L, which means of the flesh, right? So as a real general rule, something that wants to get my flesh moving is normally going to be the opposite of spiritual, right? And sometimes people ask silly questions like, well, what's wrong with dancing? Well, if it's you and your wife at home and you're dancing, have at it. But the idea of watching everyone else shaking their body and changing around partners and all the rest of that, you might call that carnal. or of the flesh. Okay. And so we don't want to have the world's dance house music in the church. And if something in your home or at church, and it's of the flesh, and all it's trying to do is make you move and have thoughts like back when you were a heathen kid smoking marijuana. Like some of you can't walk through the mall and go by Old Navy without wanting to kind of go in there because the music's drawing you. Come on, music is powerful. So, in other words, you're not going to learn about the doctrine of Jesus Christ listening to fleshly music. It doesn't work. So God says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And you don't mind if I just teach you the Bible tonight, do you? So it's a new song God puts in your heart. So look at that again, verse 16. It says, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So let's say that together. In psalms and hymns. So I want to judge it by, is it biblical? Does it have a good melody that helps me live a spiritual life and so forth? And God says, I want you to teach one another. So the songs that we sing are meant to build up a spiritual life and to teach us biblical truth. That's so important that we have that biblical truth in our life, a new song. But then it gets even better, and I'm almost done, but bear with me, because when it comes to letting the Word of God dwell in your heart, notice what it says here. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now watch this. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now our theme this year is by grace. So if you'll get the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly, and if you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you're not just going to have a new song, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have a whole new attitude in life, a whole new spirit. Now, I'm not a psychologist, but I can often tell which teenagers are gripped by rock and roll music and which ones have a freedom of the Holy Spirit. The teens have rock and roll grip. A, they don't ever want to talk to the pastor. They're very nervous about it. And normally it's a different walk, just different hard attitude, because they're under an influence by it. And they're not recognizing many of those groups are very satanic in the origin of their lifestyle and their music. And it changes. There's not a smile normally on their face. Now, if someone is a gracious person, and you notice what it says here, singing with grace in your heart, how many of you believe if there's grace in your heart, there's a smile on your face? Amen. You can just see it. I mean, you just get around certain people, they're filled with the Word, they're filled with the Spirit, and they could be going through. We have a dear lady in our choir, and she may be here tonight, and I don't think she'd mind if I said this. And her husband is a Muslim. And I've witnessed to him. I've gone through the scripture with him. And I don't know what that would be like to be wed to someone from another faith. But I got to tell you what, some Sunday mornings I sit down here and I watch her up there singing about the resurrected Christ, and she's got the biggest smile in the choir. And I'm just telling you what, she's got something in her life called salvation. And the Word of God is dwelling, and the Holy Spirit's at work, and she's filled with grace. And there might be a lady right next to her who's got a saved husband and kids in the Christian school and been in Christian school and college, been to Bible college, boy. She knows so much, she knows exactly what to complain about and when. I'm not saying that's the case. But what I'm saying is you can be saved a long time and not be filled with grace anymore. Folks, I think what I'm trying to say right here is keep it fresh. Don't get over the fact that you're saved. Can I get a witness to that tonight? Amen. And notice what it says here in verse 16. Singing with grace in your hearts, notice this, to the Lord. Much of the modern day worship does not originate in the Word of God, and it's not to the Lord oftentimes as much as it is to an audience, okay? And we want to always remember that we're singing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 30 and verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. So the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let's say that together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There are some that get so concerned about music, they err almost to a funeral dearth side of things. And they think if you're really holy, you can't smile. And if you're really a good Christian, you have to be as boring as possible. How firm a foundation. Kind of like that. They're the ones that when they're singing, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. They just can't get happy about it. The Bible says there ought to be a new spirit, a grace in your heart. Folks, I know how busy you are. And some of you might say, here's another message telling us, read the Bible. Yes, it is. You know why? The Bible's your lifeline and my lifeline. I have a cell phone. It's in my car right now. Thank the Lord. It's really an electronic leash. And you can do so much on those crazy things now. They're not just phones anymore, are they? There's texting and there's emailing and there's multiple emailing accounts and there's so many applications. And really, Google just spies on you through it. Telling you. And you have one too. Most every one of you have one too. And frankly, seems like everybody. I mean, people are just walking back and forth on the street. They may have nothing else. They may have not even a house to live in. They may not even have a bicycle to ride. But well, they got a phone. You know, they got a phone. So we all have them. We all use them, and we think we really need them. But what would happen if we treated our Bibles like our cell phone? What if we carried the Bible around in our pockets and purses? What if we flipped through our Bible several times a day? What if we turned back to get it when we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to our kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in times of emergency? Unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible being disconnected, because Jesus has already paid the bill. Amen. It's always there. It's always available. What if you treated the Bible like your cell phone? And I'm convinced that employees of even Christian ministries waste so much of God's time and money on a cell phone. Billions of dollar studies have said are wasted at work every day by employees who just are looking at scores on their phone while they're being paid by their company. By the way, that's a sin. But what if we treated the Bible like we treat our cell phone? And I just want to encourage you tonight to let the word of Christ dwell in you and to teach and admonish. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every home had the Bible at the middle?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.